And welcome to another edition of Locked On Yankees. I am your host, Larry Fleischer, for this particular episode, which is occurring on the eve of a big Yankees-Red Sox series. Yes, a big Yankees series in mid-May. Mid-May, as both teams have the best two records in baseball. And a little about me, I've been around the Yankees for many years, covering them for various outlets, writing about Reading Gamers previews, other stories. And I was at Sunday's game when the Yankees improved to 24-10 in a game that was a tale of two games. Went from doing no hitters to all the runs being scored in the eighth and ninth inning, and a thrilling walk-off win. And the one thing that struck me, I was in the scrum with the rest of the media around Gleyber Torres, and one of the things he kept saying, was the phrase, super awesome. And, I think that's really how you can describe how things are going for the Yankees now. They're 24-10 heading into this series with the Red Sox. It is the 14th time they're 24-10 and better. And each time they've done it, it's other than 1994, they have gone to the World Series. Their best start all time through 34 games was 28-6 1939, which is the four straight World Series titles when Joe DiMaggio was first coming in. But yeah, this is a really super awesome time for the Yankees and anyone who likes the Yankees. And it's a super awesome, not because it's a type of team. I mean, yeah, you always want to see the Yankees. You know, if you're a fan, you always want to see your team win games like this, get out to hot starts. You do. But I think there's a more of a satisfaction with it coming with a bunch of young kids. Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar, Domingo Germán, who, what can you say about him? His curveball was amazing. He was amazing. And Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez and, you know, everyone else. Yeah, while it is nice to go 24-10, regardless of what your roster looks like, whether it's a bunch of veteran guys, but a bunch of young guys, I think there is more of a satisfaction in the fact that it's a kind of a youth movement that's really taking shape and succeeding. And just some numbers about the Yankees here. They're 15-1 in their last 16. That goes back to April 21st. They went 16-2 in the stretch of 18 straight games against good teams on a day off. They started with Toronto, 1-3. They swept Minnesota, not necessarily a good team, but a team that was in the playoffs last year, so I guess you could put them in that category. Then they took care of Anaheim, winning 2 there. Then they took care of Houston, winning 3 there, and doing so, that was probably the most impressive of the stretch, because, you know, Houston's been a kind of a bugaboo for the Yankees, kind of a tough place to play. And you thought, while they lost the first game 2-1, you thought maybe they'll split, but hey, they won some 3 impressive games there, and then they won 3 different ways against Cleveland. So this is a great way for the Yankees to be heading into the series with the Red Sox, who, this is the first time since 2002 that both teams have the two best records or winning percentages in baseball. That was a late May, early June series, the weekend after Memorial Day. That year, the Yankees had started to take off around the middle of the month, right around the time when Giambi hit that grand slam against the Twins, and the Red Sox started off hot and just missed the playoffs by a couple games that year. But this is a great, really, and words of Gleyber Torres. Super awesome time to be watching the Yankees and watching them win. And, you know, this series is going to be really interesting just because of how good there is. I mean, Yankees Red Sox always has some juice. Maybe the levels of juice, if that's a phrase, are different. But, I mean, this really does. I mean, and not just from the Yankee side. I mean, the Red Sox, I mean, this whole are have gone kind of preceded the Yankees in going young, being that, I guess, Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts are at this point young veterans at this point. So the Yankees are kind of following suit of the Red Sox with the youth movement. And it's really working out well for both teams. And, you know, when both teams are good in any rivalry, especially this one, it is, you know, it's more compelling, I guess, is what to say. But back to those numbers we had just mentioned. The 15-1 is their best 16-game stretch since 1961. Matches their best 16. They had one in 1980, in late September, when they wrapped up the AL East and en route to 103 wins. It's their best 34 game starts since 25-9 to 2003. And another one is the run differential, 98-37 over the stretch. And when I was writing the fairly detailed preview that is probably up on various scoreboard pages all across the country in New York Times and so on, I was curious to see what they had done late in game, you know, seventh inning or later, because I suspected that it was a pretty high number. I didn't suspect it was practically half their runs. I thought maybe they scored like 25-30, but they scored 49 times in the seventh inning or later in these games. And they have three walk-offs in this span. So, and they won some unlikely games. I mean, I don't know. I think they won the 3-0 game. They were down 3-0. 3-1 entering ninth with Sanchez homered. They won a game where they blew a 5-run lead. That may not be so unlikely because it was late in the game. And then they won one when they were down 4-0 with in the eighth inning. So, it is some magic going on here. A lot of the players have that thing where they're not phased, where we just believe we're going to win. And I'm not going to say I knew Gleyber Torres was going to get a game-winning home run, become the youngest to hit a walk-off home run for the Yankees. I'm not going to go out and say that. But I knew that they were going to win that game. I mean, just sometimes momentum has that feel of winning these games. And that's what's going on here with the Yankees. And before we delve more into the Red Sox series, some facts and figures about that, we'd like to remind you that if you would like to advertise on the show, on the podcast, you can email us at lockedonnyy@gmail.com. That is lockedonnyy@gmail.com, and we will accommodate you. And now, delving further into this series, the Red Sox are really good. I mean, they had that little lull after they started out 17-2. They got no hit by Sean Manaea in a fantastic ball game that I watched. And they lost 2-3 to the Rays. But since the last week or so, they've really picked it up. They've won. They took 2-3 from the Royals. Won 3-4 from the Rangers, including the Saturday game, which was really nice comeback from there. They were down 4-1. And the base is loaded, and Joe Kelly works into a jam. So they're playing some really good ball now. We believe Mookie Betts is going to play. He got taken out by as a precaution after getting hit in the shoulder. And that's one. That's among the things that they'll have. The Yankees will have to figure out how to do. I mean, he had 7 RBIs against them in the three-game series where the Yankees gave up 20 runs in the 2 losses, and he's off to a great start. He had He had 2 3 home run games already, and he's already the all-time leader in three home run games for the Red Sox. So, well, to do this, first, the Yankees will send out Luis Severino. Luis Severino, I guess, has been electrifying, kind of like Pedro Martinez electrifying in his peak years with the Red Sox. He'll be pitching for the first time since the 110-pitch 5-hitter where he struck out 10. And since that night when the Reds, and since that night with the Red Sox, he has an ERA of 1.24. Overall, his ERA is about 2.10. And that night he was there was a thought he was tipping his pitches, especially his slider. And it seems that he's fixed whatever mechanical thing that he has that he had not working with the Red Sox in the Red Sox game, where he was flying open too soon, which is something you often hear when mechanics aren't working, other things. But overall, I mean, he is part of this really great run of Yankee pitching. In their 15-1 stretch, they have a 2.06 ERA, which is 37 earned runs in 144 innings, 158 strikeouts. But the starting rotation has a 1.89 ERA. They've pitched 95 innings, given up 20 earned runs. And overall, the Yankees have a rotation ERA of 3.43, where every starter has... three starters have a respectable ERA, I guess you could say. Sabathia has a 1.39. He'll pitch on Thursday. Severino's at 2.11. Tanaka's at 4.39, but that's because he got roughed up a little in one of his starts. Sonny Gray, who will not pitch in the series, has a 6. But he seems to have gotten better, which is something we can talk about in another episode. Hopefully he's finally listening to what I discussed about a month ago when I expressed optimism about him after a promising spring training. But that is another time. One thing to note for Severino, he has not done well against the Red Sox. I mean, statistically, he made his debut against the Red Sox in 2015 when he took a tough loss. I believe he lost to Henry Owens, who is no longer with the Red Sox. He's 2-5 against the Red Sox. His ERA has risen to 4.82 after he got pounded for 5 earned runs and 8 hits last month. However, 2 of the 3 starts where he's allowed 5 earned runs or more have been against the Red Sox. He also did it 2 years ago at Boston. But last year he also had one of his worst starts. And I believe some of the runs were unearned, but he couldn't get Andrew Benintendi out. This was a Saturday afternoon game against the Red Sox, and Benintendi is 8-16 against Severino. So, as flawless as he looked against Houston, getting ahead of hitters, throwing all his pitches, just really working quickly and efficiently. I'm curious, and I'm sure the Yankees are curious to see what the follow-up is, especially against a team that he's has the worst career numbers against. So, I guess in about 24 hours, we'll know the answer, whether the Yankees will be closer to first place or slightly a little further away. They are a game and a half out. And tomorrow we will be talking about the game. And if you would like to subscribe to anything that we're talking about on the podcast, you can download our app at iTunes. Not our app, excuse me. But you can download and subscribe to the podcast via anything that has a podcast service. Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Anything else that I've not mentioned. And if you don't see us on any of the podcast service that I haven't mentioned, feel free to shoot us an email, lockedonnyy@gmail.com. And on those podcast sites, you can leave us a rating, a comment about what you think of the podcast, what you'd like to hear, and anything else that's on your mind about the Yankees. And speaking of things that have been on my mind, I was kind of walking around earlier, listening to some of the Met game on the radio, as I like to do, listen to ball game baseball on the radio. They were talking about Matt Harvey. Who was in the news for being real exiled from the Mets by way of the designated for assignment. And, talking about some of the teams that have been linked to him, Texas Rangers, San Francisco Giants. You know, and naturally, some people think that the Yankees have been there and should be linked to him. And I'll tell you this, if this was 5 years ago and the Yankees ever had an opportunity to get Matt Harvey at a fairly low cost or via free agency, I think I would be, you would be, and people would be like, where do I sign up? Because a 2013 version of Matt Harvey paired with Luis Severino would be tremendous, but sadly, 5 years is a long time. And a lot can happen to a pitcher, to Matt. And it certainly has Matt Harvey, which is why the Yankees, I mean, as the old saying goes, you can never have enough starting pitching. Yes, it is true, but I don't think the Yankees really need to be looking into Matt Harvey, which I'm pretty sure they're not. There's a myriad of reasons. Some of his past behavior with the Mets, the getting suspended, the other thing. And we talked about that on the site. Harlan Spence wrote this article that was published today. He says, and he's basically talking about this. The Yankees, in theory, could need a fifth starter with Jordan Montgomery, and if you don't believe that Domingo Herman's stuff is going to be as dynamite as it was in subsequent starts. But the real trouble about Harvey, the real issue here, is the stuff isn't there. It's not good. And our article by Harlan notes that his fastball velocity is peaked in 2015 to 92.6, and it's now at 92.6, which is not a bad rate. But when you're when you once threw 95 and you're not even 30, he's not 30. That's not good. And you can tell the dip in velocity and the movement and all that. But just looking at the batting average off the pitch, he had 247 off the four seamer in 2015. That was his first year back from the Tommy John surgery. Now they're hitting they hit 314 this season. So so now the heater is tells you the pedestrian's heater. And he's now the secondary pitch, which is a slider, it leads hitters to just not worrying about it, not worrying about swinging and missing, which leads to swing and miss rates decreasing. 6.38 on the slider, 8.33 on the fastball in the peak 3 years ago, 17.9, 16.17. So it's a steep drop. So, yeah, it's possible that Matt Harvey can turn around or be mid-level, be a number three guy. But I don't think this is the time nor the place for the Yankees. Maybe in the future, if he gets it together with whatever new team he takes. But right now, I'm pretty sure signing Matt Harvey or going after him is an afterthought for the Yankees, who are, in the words of Gleyber Torres, just a super awesome team. And right now, Matt Harvey is not a super awesome pitcher. He was a fairly super awesome pitcher in 2013 and in various points in 2015. But super awesome, Gleyber Torres. Not super awesome, Matt Harvey. And hopefully, on our next episode of the podcast, we will be discussing some super awesome happenings by the Yankees against the Red Sox. And I'm Larry Fleischer. You've been listening to the latest episode of Locked On Yankees.